Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right. Once again, it's that time of the week. Rich Casanova here, your host for Buckhead Business Radio. And the most exciting part of the week, we have some great guests here in the studio. And just kind of winding down 2014, we'll kind of check in with our guests throughout the show, maybe some thoughts for 2015. I'd like to ask maybe what they'd like to do more of and maybe less of, or add to their list or subtract, that kind of thing. But we'll be jumping in and talking about what's on their short list and what our message here for today. Lots of good stuff to talk about, and just want to wish everyone another great year for 2014. Be safe, do the right thing, yada, 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 yada. And we're going to be taking some social media here during the show as well. So thanks for tuning in, and let's kind of jump into it. So I'll just kind of quickly introduce our second guest in reverse order, if you will. So our first, and this gentleman is the Zig Ziglar of social media, apparently. So, Les, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, great commute, right?
Yeah, awesome commute. No traffic.
Can you, if it was just like this every day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Then more people would move to Atlanta, right? So it kind of like...
Or at least Buckhead.
Yeah, they go, nice, yeah. Kind of defeat the purpose. So in a nutshell, before we jump into our first guest, tell us a little bit about what we're going to be hearing in your message here this morning when we come to you.
Today, I'm going to be talking more about how we help organizations and people with develop digital influence in their networking and communities.
And obviously, Hot Button is social media. Your company is SMS for Social Media Solutions.
Correct.
All right. Some other interesting things I read, and I went to your website, and so we'll definitely enjoy that conversation. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now you can just sit back and relax, take some notes, and enjoy the rest of your water or coffee or beverage of choice. And but first up, joining us in the studio is Franklin Vincent Cox III. Did I get that right?
Pretty close, yeah. Well, right on there, Rich.
I would say so, yeah. So welcome to the show. Franklin, how are you this morning?
I'm excited.
And same, no traffic issues, right?
I got here in less than 4 minutes.
Wow.
Pulling out and texted my friend Karen, I'm on my way.
Nice, nice. Well, I'm right commuting with you next time, whatever, yeah. Okay, so you have an interesting perspective and business we're going to be talking about this morning. And we're going to be talking about the movie business, right?
Sure.
Yes or no? Yes or yes?
We could talk about film production in Atlanta, but we can also talk about video production, which is where I come in with my company, Pecan Production Studios, and how corporate communications is essential to the success of a business.
Yeah, and a little bit about yourself. So you started this venture in 2001?
Correct.
Yeah. And you've produced a myriad of video production projects for companies such as Resurgence Orthopedics, Vane Atlanta, Argus Benefits, Low Country Barbecue. Now, no samples though on that. Is it too early for barbecue? Is that possible?
I don't think it's ever too early or too late for some pulled pork sandwiches.
Yeah, nice. A little pulled pork bagel, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, omelet. Okay, so, and then also for the Home Depot.
That's correct.
And that's where we're talking about kind of this corporate film production. And Pecan, is it Pecan or Pecan?
Well,
I need the definitive. This is the hour and the moment to get the definitive pronunciation.
Well, I say my response is normally I pronounce it just like the pie.
Okay, yeah.
But right, it still doesn't answer the question. Nice.
So you're running for office? Apparently.
Well, a pecan is what I keep on long road trips on the passenger floorboard of my vehicle.
Nice.
So they're pecans. My friend is a farmer down in Camilla, Georgia, where I get my pecans. My friend Chris Warsham of Warsham Farms.
Yeah.
And he calls them pecans. So
now, you also produce documentaries and developed a TV docuseries on high school football called The Title Quest?
Correct.
Nice, yeah.
Title Quest follows a team in its dream, but a few individuals on that team in their quest for the holy grail of high school sports, the football state championship. And I won the state championship here in the state of Georgia at Marist School in 1989. And it was quite something else. I looked up to the sky, the black December sky, and we were winning our first state championship. We had lost five prior to in the past 9-10 years. And I said, Lord, help us win this game for what a wonderful film I'm going to make from this experience.
Right.
And so I showed up at Marist School in 2001, started my company, and started started filming football games and players and interviews and all kinds of neat things, and that helped me develop Title Quest in 2012, the 100th season of Marist football.
Dang. Yeah, I mean, what's the big movie out right now, right? That
there's a movie that came out based on the true story of the longest winning streak in the history of high school football,
right.
De La Salle out of California, and I believe that was called Stand Tall.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think it gathered much traction or any buzz at all whatsoever of being a worthy film, because I think it lasted 2 weeks in the theater, maybe, and then I saw an ad for it already on DVD in demand and stuff.
Yeah, so. It's on Redbox and all that stuff, yeah. But a lot of times that's where they make their big money, is the ongoing, you know, revenue.
Continued distribution other than the motion picture box office.
Yeah, I should have my brother from California in the studio, because he was a high school football coach. And coming up in retirement, retired after his 200th win. So, yeah, not all in a row, but yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Then we'd have another, the sequel. So meanwhile, talking about Pecan Productions, so it's not on the list here, but what's the behind the name? How did you come up with that?
Well, being from Georgia, I love Georgia, I'm pretty ethnocentric here from Atlanta. And we would take, we'd drive down to the beach to St. Simons and Hilton Head a lot growing up, every summer, and sometimes multiple times. And Dad would take back roads to eliminate just I-75 traffic and whatnot. And my head would be up against the glass, just staring, the sun is following me, and the trees and that sort of thing. Then all of a sudden, a huge pecan grove would appear. And I was just so amazed with the coordination of the planting and the, I don't know, there's just the formation of the trees. Just really, I love that. I think it's the most gorgeous thing is the pecan grove. And so when I was in New York studying film at New York University, I got stuck in a gridlock of concrete, and I moved straight from the botanical gardens right down the street from the botanical gardens in Athens to be in New York City. And I was like, this is awesome, but they want me to be creative and it's tough, but I just couldn't wait. I was like, I'm going to start a company called Pecan Productions. And the alliteration is
that works,
impactful.
Yeah. And they're in season now, right? Or is it like the fall? Or
It's the fall.
Yeah.
Their season is basically over. It's just now a matter of just getting them over to China.
Right. Nice. It's the one thing we export or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Georgia is the largest producer of pecans and has more farms than any other state. There are 57,000 pecan farms in Texas.
Wow.
There are 77,000 pecan farms in Georgia.
So we should be forget the peach state or whatever, right? Pecan state, yeah.
That's it.
That's a trip, a little bit of trivia I did not know. I know my brother, other brother lives in Thomasville, South Georgia.
I'm familiar.
And, I don't know if it's a tradition, but a couple of times Christmas Eve or around there, we've gone down in the pecan groves, and there's just, you can pick up just barrels of them. I don't know if it's legal or not, but they're all on the ground. If it was free play,
if there's a fence, I'd stay clear. Watch your back.
Yeah. Well, I've been through electric shock, so it doesn't really bother me yet. So now talk to us about your passion for video production. You kind of touched on it in New York there. So where did that? What's behind that?
My father came home when I was five with a video camera, with the umbilical attachment to a VHS shoulder mount system.
Right. Nice.
And he began filming us, and I started acting, and we'd shoot some little commercials in the kitchen or the bathroom, because that's where we figured that was the best light was, and otherwise it's horrible. And so I would record movies also from, we had HBO in 78, believe it or not, and I recorded Jaws, Moonraker, and Smokey and the Bandit. And I watched those movies over and over and over, and I just became so fond of Spielberg at when I was five. And he and Jim Carrey are my number one heroes. So I just had a passion for it, been acting, and I started acting a lot in elementary school at Christ the King. And then went to Marist School and auditioned in seventh grade against some seniors and totally botched. I never saw a text that small. And I was like, oh, my God. But by my junior and senior year, I was taking some drama classes at Marist, and then went to University of Georgia and studied theater there.
Wow.
And because it was – I was watching the Golden Globes, and I remember coming out of True Lies, I saw Jamie Lee Curtis do a really good performance in that. And I walked out and go, she's going to get nominated for that role in that. And then I saw her win a Golden Globe and I go, oh my gosh. And the next day I went in and declared drama as my major. and then I saw Forrest Gump and I said, you know what? During the credits of that movie, I said, that's a movie that I would like to be a part of the making of, a special movie like that. And that's where the passion started at an early age, and then the decision to be in filmmaking was after Forrest Gump in 93-ish, 2-ish. And then Pulp Fiction the year before was pretty damn good.
So you filmed Smokey and the Bandit?
No, I recorded it the television. Although,
like, wow,
I was alive when it was filmed, and it was in this town. But,
that's true. Yeah. So if you meet some folks traveling or just networking or coming across your daily business, and they ask, they hear you're with Pecan Productions, how, you know, what's your elevator spiel, or how do you describe that?
Pecan Productions specializes in corporate communications, and you know, there are many ways to increase and expand the productivity of a company. Communication is key. Communication within that company is crucial in doing so and should be the first step in creating and motivating your workforce, aligning them to the vision and mission of the company and the founder of the company or the CEO, whichever it is. It's normally the same thing. And,
right.
You know, the CEO takes a vested interest in what that company does and what it stands for.
And
to convey that message is crucial.
And their image and what they're trying to, the message you're getting across, in a compelling way.
You do that compelling internally to basically get your employees on board in a positive way. And then you turn it outward. They all turn outward with that same vision and mission. And then you can massage and tweak the same video production to a message for outside and earn sales or services in that realm.
And probably a challenge is kind of keeping it consistent across all their platforms or all their communication, because a lot of times you go to certain companies and they just really don't seem to kind of like coordinate or have conversations amongst different departments or divisions, or it's just not current, you know. It's like they're talking about things and it just, there's something that seems askew. But so we've talked about projects you've worked on in the past. What are some exciting production events coming up we should know about?
Well, I also have done a few lawyer videos for advertising for a law firm. And looking forward to adding to his testimonials that differentiate him from the rest of the pack to help some folks that really need a good lawyer in their situation that this guy could help. But really and truly, the main passion in my life is filmmaking, and corporate communication pays the bills. And I like to say that we're pretty efficient. I've got a good team that can produce those. But since I was in third grade, my dad and I decided to write a movie together. And my father was in Vietnam and is a Marine officer, and he was a Ford Observer artillery officer. So he'd call in artillery every time that they were out in the bush and would hit an ambush, which was often. And so I kept harping on him to write a Vietnam book, his Vietnam book, his story, which he did 4 years ago. And it took the silver medal at the Military Writers Society of America.
Wow.
And then last spring, in 4 months, he marched out an award-winning screenplay. And so we're looking forward to all the results of the festivals that the traction that this screenplay is gaining at film festivals around the country. It already has won the grand prize at the 7th Annual Story Prose Screenplay Contest in California, the number one out of basically 1,000 scripts. And we're just waiting to get traction, and we're going to produce a Vietnam movie.
Yeah, so, I mean, what's involved in that? I mean, the timetable or...
years. Right now, probably years. Fundage, personnel. But again, we want to just sit back and see the results of the festival circuit that will help gain interest. And there are many different scenarios of how a film is made. There's no proven science. And we're just really excited to have this one piece.
I think probably the average civilian has no clue what's involved. They just buy their ticket and go check out the movie. But, I mean, it's kind of there's a similar thread with the project Angelina Jolie's undertaking with Unbroken, right? I mean, I saw some of the backstory about that. I think Brian Williams, they were being interviewed on about an hour-long program. and just telling that whole backstory. And that's his story sat in Hollywood for over 40 years and the script got tossed around and a lot of people passed on it. And then, you know, fast forward, she took it on. And then, what was part of the takeaway is that they literally, where he lived, she could see out from her window.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's how close they were all those, you know, years. But I can imagine what's involved in making that happen. So besides business, what do you do in your free time when you're not making movies, acting in movies, doing corporate videos, or what other talents?
Well, also as a child and growing up, I would entertain myself in my room a lot.
Right.
So with that, I would create vocal noises, sounds, and whistles, click clacks, pops, and just zany faces to go along with those. So
I understand the noises, but I'm not sure about the faces alone in your room, whatever. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Various different noises and voiceovers and sound effects. And so I create sort of a character. I'm a character, if you will.
All right.
So I also produce a comedy show. I'm a comedian. These noises
nice.
and whistles and clacks and pops, they elicit wonderment in folks or excitement and laughter. And that's one thing that comes natural to me is to elicit smiles out of folks. And
that's not a bad way to spend your day, yeah.
Right.
Are there any, can you share some of these with us? What are some of your go-to clicks or clacks or noises that are legal, I guess? I don't know if there's any illegal noises. I know there's some words we have to avoid, but yeah, I think.
All right.
Howdy, boys. Welcome to the radio show. What y'all talking about?
Well, we're talking about, we've got Les here, the Zig Ziglar of motivational speakers and social media, and we've got Rich Casanova here on the radio talking to Mr. Franklin Cox.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm enjoying this.
Well, you sound so enthusiastic there, Mr. Cox.
Hey, kids, let's go see if Sideshow Bob has any of those over-the-counter legal wake-up pills.
All right, so I can pretty much leave the studio. You can just interview yourself, right? I'm good to go. See y'all. I love that. Yeah, if we ever need like three or four extra guests in the studio, we'll just it's radio, so they would not have a clue, right?
Yeah, you're right on it, sir.
Yeah. But and I heard a little bit of whistling and tweeting there, or whatever. So I understand. Word is you're a amateur, professional whistler. Or is there a title involved in that? Or
sure.
I know there's a. Well, I just found out today there's a convention just for whistlers. Serious? WhistlerCon?
They're WhistlerCon 1912. No, there is a International Whistlers Convention was founded.
Oh, come on.
The International Whistlers Convention was founded 42
years ago.
Whatever,
I'm going to Google that. Yeah, hold on.
Alan DeHart founded it in 1973, and this is the 42nd annual coming up in 2015, and it'll be in California. Carol Ann Kaufman is looking to host that in her hometown, and it'll be the first time in California. It's been in Japan and China a few times, but mainly in North Carolina at Lewisburg College, where Alan resides. And I guess he grew up and lived for at least 42 years.
Why not in Colorado? And was it Whistler?
We've got Colorado's a wonderful
right?
Mitch Hyder is in the Hall of Fame of whistling. He is out of Oregon, and he comes and he is our master of ceremonies every year in and year out, almost all the time. And he is.
And folks, he's saying this with a completely straight face or whatever. Yeah.
Mitch is a good fellow, wonderful like vaudeville type performer and just an excellent whistler.
No, I'm not challenging Mitch's resume there. I'm just the idea of a whistling convention. We'll have to have you back first show in April, maybe to talk to us about that. But now are you going to be traveling out there, or how many of these conventions have you attended? Or
well, I've
competed.
Uncle, in my spare time, also of that, I whistle all the time. And yeah. Sing sometimes, but I whistle all the time. I've always whistled and then made the noises.
I could never do this with your fingers and whistle with it, right?
Yeah, my dad taught me that a long time ago, and then I realized I could go hands-free. And
yeah. Right. So if we ever need some sound effects, you're on the short list to call. So talk to us about comedy. Well, first of all, back to your one of your clients, you said, is in the legal profession as an attorney.
Yeah.
We should either have you on or introduce you to some folks. We do a show 8 o'clock Tuesday mornings, Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. So the entire show is just for lawyers and attorneys in Atlanta. And we've had the Georgia Bar Association on here, the Georgia Trial Lawyers Association. And so it's a great show. And so we definitely but occasionally the host will then bring in some folks, some service providers, if you will, for that profession where they're not necessarily attorneys or lawyers. So and then comedy, you ever spent some time at the Punchline? Or
yeah, I love the Punchline. It's a lot of fun. I know some folks that perform there monthly,
right,
in a
yeah.
sense, and
yeah.
year in and year. I know some folks that work there,
right.
and that sort of thing. I befriended a fella a few years ago named Jerry Farber, yeah. and Jerry has become a dear friend and supporter of me, and I am of him. And so went up there and did stand up for the first time. I've always wanted to be a stand up.
Right, yeah, me too.
I grew up watching George Carlin, Robin Williams, Jonathan Winters, yeah. And I'd like to say that I adopted myself, not because I wanted to be like him. I just am like him.
Right.
As Jim Carrey.
Okay, yeah.
And so I created a show with Jerry, and it's called the Big Cox Comedy Show. So I go in and bring in comedians that are really good. We sell tickets. People show up. I pack the house.
Nice.
It's awesome. And I do two sets during the evening, one after the first or second act, and then one before the closer. And the closer is a seasoned, paid, traditional comedian. I'm not a traditional comedian in the sense that I'm a storyteller.
Right.
And I'm not a set up boom type joke jokester. I'm like a Jonathan Winters, Dick Van Dyke, and Andy Kaufman kind of thing that will tell stories and create the personalities and go through a whole motion of things.
Out of the box kind of stuff, yeah.
Out of the box.
There is no box. With it.
Out of the
You're like, box? There's a box?
Out of the box, Big Cox Comedy Show.
Yeah, nice, there you go. And because speaking of attorneys and the Punchline, we had Jamie Bender in here, the owner of the Punchline, and I had no clue, but he was here as an attorney. Talking about, and he's actually a practicing.
He's got a wonderful radio voice.
That's a trip. So meanwhile, so what's what's next, or how do our folks get in touch with you or find out about your services? I guess mainly for the corporate video production and.
You can go to pecanproductions.com, or my email is frank@pecanproductions.com, and. First and foremost, though, it's the holiday season, and I've got to shamelessly plug my my Christmas whistling album.
Nice.
It's called Whistling Christmas with Franklin Vincent Cox and Friends. And the first time I showed up at the International Whistlers Convention was after my uncle said, I whistle so well, I should enter a contest. So I found this is the best place to go. So I showed up and placed 6th in the world. And,
wow.
And with that, there's much better whistlers out there, that, go figure, just so happens. But I'm a pretty dang good whistler. But I went to the studio with local musicians, local Atlanta musicians, and produced this album that's really good. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify, Rhapsody, Amazon, and other venues. And you can stream it, buy it, send it to a friend via iTunes credit. And it's just wonderful. People say that's their tradition now, to listen to my CD while they decorate their tree with their kids. And
nice.
It's awesome.
We'll have to check it out. So then, so they can go to iTunes and tell the title again.
Whistling Christmas with Franklin Vincent Cox and Friends.
Cool. And we'll post that on the website as well, so they can have a link to go there as well. So, thanks for being on the show, and stick around. We may do a little additional conversation with our second guest here. So, pleasure meeting you, having you in the studio, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Do you mind if I send off with a whistle?
Oh, yeah, Christmas go for tune? It. Yeah, sure, yeah, that'd be great. very nice. We've done a lot of stuff here at the studio. We've never had a whistle sign off there or whatever. Yeah, I'm sure some of our listeners are tuning in like, is this the right dial? Are we on Business Radio X? Yeah. Very out of the box. Enjoyed that. Yeah, that was awesome. So maybe an encore here in a moment. All right. Thanks again for being here. And
thank you.
All right. So up next, we have Les Adkins joining us in the studio. And I've just decided my New Year's resolution is not to take up whistling. I've decided I'm throwing the towel on that one, right?
Definitely. Right, definitely. Right. I'm not sure I want to follow that.
I know. Exactly. I'll try to create a little bit of a buffer here or whatever. Yeah. So so we talked just a moment ago, and I love your monogram there, Zig Ziglar of social media. And so you help businesses bridge the gap between old corporate and new tech-savvy business models, right?
Correct.
And because a lot of people do, I mean, we'll talk about this in depth, but I think that's a big challenge for business is how do they kind of get themselves up to 2015 now, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Your interview recently has been picked up by ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and now Business Radio X.
Business
You've
Radio
arrived.
X,
yeah, it's,
yes.
It's game over
I'm
now.
Here.
Right? Yeah. Wow, that's pretty impressive. And also some other major publications. You're an international speaker, trainer. You've worked with Fortune 500 companies. Leaders help them develop their digital strategies. Welcome again to the show, Les.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
And before we get into kind of some of the meat and potatoes here, I know Craig introduced us via social media.
Correct.
All right. We've been following each other on Twitter. I checked out. I think we're connected now on LinkedIn and
yep.
all the platforms. I don't know about MySpace. If that's probably a good lead for you, right? If your corporate presence is on MySpace, we probably need to talk, right?
We need to have a major talk.
So, and I hope we have time for this because I did on YouTube. I watched. I don't want to give too much away, but a project that's been in the works with some mutual friends that we know. David Alexander.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that in a moment for maybe what's upcoming.
Okay.
But meanwhile, let's put it in reverse here. And before we jump into your questions, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you arrive here other than no traffic this morning?
Yeah. Right. No traffic. And I actually left early, so I got here really early.
Yeah.
So,
but before today, I mean, what's
today.
Your backstory, I guess? Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually have been in, I graduated from University of Nebraska, actually in cold Omaha, Nebraska.
Right.
And then I moved around a lot. My dad's a pastor.
All right.
And then ended up in Atlanta, worked for corporate America for about 25 years, got my MBA. The position was eliminated. And so I call myself a reluctant entrepreneur. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but everything I started just didn't really catch on.
Yeah.
And so when my position got eliminated, I started Orange SMS. And then now we're starting next year. We'll be 7 years in business.
Oranges and pecans.
Oranges and pecans.
A little battle going on here. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking pecans win in the wintertime at least. So.
What? I'm originally from Florida, the Sunshine, a.k.a.
Orange
State.
Orange State, exactly.
But I don't know if this is true, if I'm making this up or if I picked it up somewhere, but the largest state producing oranges is? Yeah.
California.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and also the largest cattle producing state is not Texas, but... California. I think it's just a square mile. They're cheating, I think. That's
they have a lot of land over there.
That's,
I have relatives in California.
Yeah,
too.
A large border.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're definitely cheating on something. But so to the oranges, I asked our earlier guest about pecans. So what's the orange story with
that? So the orange has nothing to do with oranges.
Okay, good.
sorry. Orange, actually, we actually took the name Orange SMS. Orange is a well-known technology reseller.
Okay.
In the internationally.
Right.
So we kind of the URL was available at the time and we weren't that noted, so we kind of took their name kind of from a perspective and added SMS onto
right.
it to give us some immediate notoriety and to start the conversation.
Do you know a guy named Orange Chen?
I don't.
We're connected on LinkedIn and
I don't know.
He's in China or something. Like that, so.
Interestingly enough, just in the last year, several people from the Orange company has looked at my profile. So I'm still trying to figure out if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, you might be on Atlanta Legal Experts.
Yeah, I might be on Atlanta Legal Experts. But no, we're good. It's all good.
Okay,
so
good. Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, because you can have the word apple in your name.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah, it's
yeah,
just
it's
apples, oranges, and pecans.
Exactly.
I'm getting hungry all of a sudden here. Okay, so meanwhile, besides fruits and vegetables and beverages, we kind of, you know, I'll ask you kind of guess the same question because we have quite a list of questions here to get into as far as the, you know, specifics.
Right.
But for folks that haven't heard of your business, Orange SEO, or no, I just changed it.
You just changed my name of my company.
To SMS. What's your value proposition, if you will, a unique selling proposition? Or
so what we do to help organizations and individuals is we help them build influence in their digital world.
Okay.
So helping organizations to understand that it's a lot more than just social media.
Right.
You've got to look at the overall digital environment. You've got to really understand who your audience is and then go after that audience. And the biggest thing is to, we help organizations understand how to function within social media, because it's a different type of functionality for your business. You don't sell all the time. If you're just getting into it, talk to them about how to talk about their business. We also use a methodology called the whole brain approach. That's a trademarked whole brain approach from Ned Herman. I created it in the 60s. There's a company out of Lake Lure, North Carolina, Herman International. And so we partner with Whole Brain with them and add the Whole Brain, which briefly, I'll tell you it in a nutshell. You meet that person you click with. They probably have a similar thinking preference as you. You also meet that person when you walk into a room. You want to turn around and walk away because they can't hold a conversation. They're literally, you think they're the dumbest person in the world. Well, chances are they have an opposite thinking preference of you. So they're not stupid. They're not dumb. But
they're not aloof necessarily.
They're not aloof necessarily, but as an individual, you can choose who you want to connect with. As a business, you need to reach both of those people. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we go into organizations and help them understand how to speak the language of opposite or different thinking preferences, and also how to write messages in social media that talk to those different thinking messages.
It kind of reminds me, because I did see that video with you, David, and Jim, I think, right?
Yeah.
You guys did for the
new
product.
We're doing the crowdfunding, yeah.
And Dave was talking about that when he goes networking. He puts people a business card when you're collecting A, B, or C.
Right?
And so that's where you kind of need to figure out if there's a match, or also kind of like where are they coming from, right?
Exactly, yeah. Kind of where do they fit into your network? And one of the things, you know, to mention, to kind of go off that A pocket,
right,
is one of the projects that we're getting ready to do. It should launch in next year. And we're really going head on kind of changing the concept of networking.
Right.
Networking has been out forever. It's been around for 100 years or more.
It needs a little... would it be
21st century
remake, or what's the
remix?
There you go, remix.
Remix.
Makeover. Yeah, but
renovation.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so so A Pocket is coming out. We're really pushing to get it out the first quarter.
Okay,
it'll be a mobile application that will help you really build influence within your 50 network. So we're limiting to a small network,
right?
And so you can really build with those people, add value to your life and business.
Okay. And we'll talk about that maybe at the near the end of the segment here. But let's talk about it. We're talking about mobile. Okay,
yes.
What changes have you seen in the last, I say, 7 years? Is it kind of like a cycle?
It's mobile has taken off. So as of right now, according to one of the mobile associations, there are more mobile devices on the planet than there are human beings.
I can't believe that. I got a drawer full of the old ones.
Exactly, exactly. So that happened as of the last part or mid part of 2014. So where it's headed is, one of the things, the guy from KISS, Gene Simmons, recently made a quote. And there are people, you know, security and whether kids should be on social media and all that. And he made a great statement that we forget that this whole mobile digital is still in its infancy.
Oh, big time, yeah.
So
I mean, even the internet is still a teenager.
The internet's still in its infancy.
Right.
And so where we're seeing mobile, you're seeing a lot of wearable devices. Mm-hmm. You're seeing cars that are completely connected. So it's just taken off. I mean, there's a lot of things that mobile. And here's the kind of the message, per se, moving from the old culture to the new culture.
Right.
If you're not there, if you're not mobile, if I can't find you on my mobile device, then for an entire new generation that has money that will buy your products and consume them, you don't exist if you're not there.
Well, to follow on that is that if you can't find if folks can't find your business on their mobile device, they're going to find your competitor.
Exactly.
End of story, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and if they find your mobile device, if they find you on their mobile device, And it's really hard to navigate.
It's not synced to whatever, yeah.
Yeah, then they're going to move on to your competitor.
Right, yeah. I mean, I can't believe you're quoting Gene Simmons on a business show.
I know,
show,
but isn't that crazy? Well, he's actually a really good business guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at his career, and you can't have that kind of livelihood and that length of you know, what he's done and not, you know, not know what you're doing. Yeah,
exactly.
So, so meanwhile, back to this mobile thing. Yeah, you're right. It's like we got these devices, you know, watch and you can connect everywhere, and the wearable devices, like you said.
Right.
I remember a few years back, I was at we used to frequent and work from Starbucks a lot of times.
Okay.
And I always tell people I don't work at Starbucks. I work. No, I don't work for Starbucks. I worked at there. But right. Meanwhile, I was there, and I remember the time I saw somebody. They're on their laptop, and then they had their tablet next to them, and then their mobile phone. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like, that just looks ridiculous, you know? I mean, are you serious? And then fast forward, I've been doing the same thing lately. And
exactly.
It's like, some people may potentially challenge you on this decision, saying there's more devices than there are people. But you think about it. People have their cell phone, which is still primarily their, you know, their phone, but then everything else comes through there as well. But where it's not their phone is their tablet and their laptop.
Right.
And so there's three devices right off the top.
Yeah, and the and the laptop doesn't count as a mobile device.
Yeah.
So
really?
No, laptop does not count as a mobile device. Only the pads and the mobile. So when we talk about mobile, we're talking about phones and tablets.
Okay,
only.
Yeah.
Because some of the phones and tablets that are out are much more powerful than some of the laptops that are available.
Huh. Okay. So, I mean, is there like one or two points that criteria you look for in a company? What's like a red flag that they're not up to speed or that they need, you know, to have a conversation with you?
Well, a lot of my colleagues in social media, and I've been in social media since 2006.
Okay.
So a lot of my colleagues believe that if companies are not doing social media now, they pretty much missed it. I don't believe that. I believe you can always start now, and you need to start now.
Right.
Because that window of opportunity is rapidly closing. And we've already proven that companies are not, you know, there's not a big enough company to not fail. So that window is rapidly closing. So it's kind of, if they're having different, let me back up. The organizations that we've seen that we're working with have something to do with social media. They have a marketing department doing social media. They might have their sales force doing something with social media, social selling. They may have their advertising or the customer service making sure their tweet and things of that nature answering that. But what we do is go in and we actually help them, kind of similar to what Frank was talking about with video, is help them understand they need an overarching strategy that matches their corporate strategy so that all those people that are playing in that, instead of working in silos, can look at it and say, okay, we're all on the same page.
Right. Talk to us about challenges. Let's go back to the challenges. Is that, you know, what's the school of thought? And does it, you know, certain businesses, like, again, you know, talking about these attorneys, is that a lot of them say, or finance companies, or they have compliance issues.
Correct.
And, I mean, there was even, what was on the media recently, where I think it was a college coach, you know, they have to be so careful what they're saying online, because it kind of lives there, and it just can become, it can work for and against you, right?
Right, right. And so, you know, from the compliance side, especially like legal and finance, what we're finding is that as long as they have a really good, strong social media policy in place, then they're better off. The danger is that some of these organizations, like attorneys and law firms and banks and financial institutions, are shying away from it. But here's the catch. If you look at their competitors that are online and that are mobile, they're getting the business. So it's kind of one of those things. If you shy away from it because you're worried about security, then you're going to be out of business if that's why you're going to stay away from it. Because the old adage of, oh, we'll stay away from this, it's not going to, you know, we'll be okay because we have our clients and things of that nature. The old adage of, you know, social media is not going away.
Right.
This mobile digital world that we live in is not going away. It's just getting increased
big
more
time,
and more and more. So if you're not a part of it, then that means that you're not a part of the whole new generation that's going to buy your products, buy your services, and be loyal to your brand.
But you would probably agree, based on the business sector that they're in, they need to decide which platform is a better fit for them, right? So certain companies, their go-to would be Facebook if they're very kind of social or B2C, if you will, right? And others might, if they're a visual company. I mean, I think, you know, I kind of share what maybe a lot of your clients questions they may have. It just seems overwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, where do you draw the line? I mean, we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and then I've gotten the Twitter, right. the Instagram and Pinterest,
right?
And, you know, slow
and
down,
Snapchat, you know? And a bunch Snapchat, of all the other right. stuff. So here's the interesting thing. So instead,
I mean, do you kind of profile the business first and decide.
Yes.
Right.
So what we do is helping organizations, and this is really important, is where their audience is.
Okay, yeah.
So the biggest thing is, you know, your audience may or may not be on Facebook. Your audience may right. not may or may not be on Twitter. Your audience may or may not be on Pinterest. So you find out where your audience is, and then you actually go and talk to them and converse with them where their platform on that platform where they are.
Right.
And so it's less about platform. From an Orange SMS standpoint, we're platform agnostic, meaning that we don't promote any one platform. You've got a zillion LinkedIn experts out there, Facebook experts, Twitter experts, and they're all selling their services, and that's great, and there's a place for them. But if you're truly as a business trying to get into this world, it's not a shotgun effect. You right. can actually focus it on where your audience is and start from there, and then your audience will tell you where they want to be engaged.
Okay. And where do your services begin and end as far as we've talked about a lot of different topics? So do you coach folks on their social media, on their mobile apps, developing a mobile website or an app? This is a 3 or 4 part question.
Right. So,
and do you coach or consult with them, or do you outsource, manage their social media, or develop apps or mobile presence or web presence on their mobile devices? I mean,
so great. Yeah. Great question.
Yeah, about 9 questions there, but yeah
great question. So in 2015 we're focusing mainly on consulting.
Okay,
so we'll actually go in, help you develop a strategy, consult with your business, and we also have a C-level two-day workshop for okay. executives on how to start developing a strategy.
Right.
We partner with a company called Acquint,
uh-huh.
And also Site Minis here in Atlanta. Acquint's a global company, and so we have the capability to help you with your implementation and with your ongoing types of things, but we're really focusing on the consulting aspect of it to come in and help you truly develop a really strong strategy, and then we'll help you either develop a team internally to help run that or implement that strategy, or we have partners that will come in and implement that for you.
Yeah, that was my follow-up question. So if you consult and set up all the platforms, what's the check-in cycle, or you turn that over in-house to them? Somebody monitor their progress, because you can have New Year's resolutions, get everything rocking and rolling, and then come March, it's like, what happened,
Right. So what we do is, from a consulting side, is we check with them quarterly.
Okay.
To make sure that they're on track.
That's
so
cool.
No matter if they've done an internal or if they're working with a partner, we come back quarterly and say, okay, where are you?
Right.
Let's see what your departments are doing. And then, okay, do we need to make tweaks? Do we need to readjust? Because right. in this world of social media and digital, it's not a stagnant world.
Right.
You can't, like the old example of, we have a brand new website coming out in 2015, because the website we have now is not that great.
Right.
But, that website now can't be stagnant. And if it is, the searches, not to get too technical, but right. the algorithms that are doing the searches, yeah. they won't feed. It has to be continuously new user-generated content. So we talk about all that in the consulting and how to make that work for your organization. And the biggest thing is how to get started in that in social media, in this digital world, mobile. And the big thing, the message is, get started.
Right. And a great time of the year, with resolutions and kind of people with a clean slate. And everybody's kind of, people can kind of poo-poo on the New Year's resolutions. But it is a great opportunity to kind of say, let's look back at what we did 2014. Mm-hmm. What's new on the horizon for the new year? And we kind of got a fresh start and all that good stuff. So I want to talk a little bit about the seminar you kind of mentioned. But talk to us a little bit about that.
So
I saw that on your...
Well, we just did,
profile or something.
Yeah, we just did that seminar. What did we decide? It was 2 weeks ago? A week ago, Monday. And it was called, a High Achievers event, so I'll put a plug in for High Achievers. Doug Grady will thank me for that later.
And Les Brown was there, right?
Les Brown,
yeah. I saw that. Craig was talking about that, but I saw that on the website or whatever. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm a
huge
fan of the other Les,
I get it. Now, I actually got to meet him, and kind of the backstory of that is, so I also spoke on stage, same stage as Les Brown, and Sharon Lecter was there.
Two lesses?
Two lesses. Well, actually, I met him, and he said, you know, together we make more.
There you go.
And I said, he said, together we make more. So, yeah, he's a great guy. And yeah. The interesting story, backstory on that is in 2008, I received my MBA. I graduated within my MBA. He gave the commencement talk at my MBA graduation. Jeez. And then how many years is that later? 6 years later?
Yeah.
Then I was actually sharing a stage with him and speaking to an audience. So that was kind of cool. Yeah.
I've met him two or three times, just like from the audience. I waved or whatever. That was about it.
Yeah, he's a really great guy.
He's an amazing story.
And I met his children, too, John Leslie Brown and Ona Brown.
Right, yeah. And who was I thinking of? Not David Alexander, but the other gentleman was on the stage.
Doug Grady.
Doug Grady, yeah, with High Achievers. He's been on the show.
Yeah,
guy too.
The Ripple Effect.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's... He's a really close friend of mine. Actually, he got me into running Tough Mudders.
Yeah.
So I've run two Tough Mudders and plan on running one in Australia in 2015.
Yeah, I was going to reach over and grab his book because I thought, here, I have it in my car. I've read about half the book yet.
It's a great book.
It is cool. So we're going to talk about projects for 2015 and talk about this A Pocket. But I had another question I was trying to think of a moment ago. When I think of it, let me know.
Okay, sure will.
All right. Right. So
we're on that.
So yeah,
we're on that.
Yeah. So make a note of that. But so okay. So A Pocket. Let's we kind of tease that at the top of the interview. So talk to us about the concept behind this new widget.
So A Pocket is going to be a mobile application. We're getting ready to have our second crowdfunding campaign. Okay. We'll start. We're hoping January 5th, but that's a soft date.
Yeah.
And we'll start it on Kickstarter. So be looking out for that. A Pocket is literally what it says. It's a mobile app that allows you to have only A Pocket network people around you. There was a Forbes article that talked about the way to be a power connector is to shrink your network down to 50 people. So our application is only going to allow you to have 50 people in your network. Now, you'll be able to grow that from a perspective, but you only have be able to have 50 people in your A Pocket.
A Pocket network, yeah.
Yeah,
you can have them elsewhere in Facebook or MySpace. Or...
Yeah, yeah, in A Pocket network. So, and in that, we're going to also measure influence. So you're going to be able, by the activities that you do, your influence within that A Pocket is going to be noted. And so let's say you have your network, you can see not only your influence within your own network, but the people within your network, how their influence is. And it's the whole design is it needs to be a revolving door.
Right.
So if you have somebody that's not really adding value to that network, then you need to replace them with
Put
someone
them in
else.
The B Pocket.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. And so it's going to change. It's going to be animated. We're adding a lot of gamification to it. So it's going to change how people network from a perspective of kind of give it a new dressing. It'll be it's fun. It's also very practical. We have a patent pending that will also allow you to give rewards and gift cards digitally, so you won't have to download them. They'll be on your phone. You just take it to whatever service that you want, and it'll be all on your phone. So a lot of really cool stuff from A Pocket coming out. We've been working on this project for 2 years.
Yeah, I know. I've seen on YouTube a couple of the videos. And,
yeah.
But it seems like a mystery. I'm like watching Jim and watching these folks, but I can't see where's the widget or whatever.
Yeah, so we have – so on the crowdfunding campaign that we'll have
oh, okay.
a video
okay, cool.
that will actually demo.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to actually see the demo of the actual mobile application when the crowdfunding campaign comes out.
Okay. And I did think of my question now.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. Congratulations. So, meanwhile, we talked about connecting, communicating, platforms, all this good stuff. But you mentioned at the top of the interview about social media is not about selling. But I think that's one of the kind of, mystery to business people.
Right.
Is they're like, okay, so I'm going to invest money into this. I'm going to spend my time on this. Actually, another question I had was about... What's your school of thought on whether these platforms are managed by an entity within the organization or the individual, right?
Or
if they outsource it to because there's companies that say we'll run the entire social media for you,
Correct.
Speak on your behalf.
Correct.
I mean, what's the yin and yang of that?
So I used to think that. So my thought process used to be that you need to run it yourself,
right?
But then I started meeting a lot of people, and it's really hard to do that with this whole world that's out there. So the big thing in social media is transparency.
Right.
So meaning that if you have an organization posting things for you and tweeting things for you, you can't have them say it's you.
Right. Just
on your behalf, the organization wise, and those type of tweets and Facebook posts and LinkedIn posts and those type of things need to be very transparent on who they're coming from. It can be about your organization, but it can't come directly from you. Now, at the end of the day, organizations need to internalize or have at least a team or one or two people that are managing that.
Right.
Because let's face it, any outsourcing organization, including mine, is not going to ever know your business as well as you do
right.
inside. So that's a really important aspect of it.
That's a challenge because we've had some folks in here where they are social media management companies. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, yeah, it is kind of like a two sides of the coin there because mm-hmm. that's nice to be able to just write a check once a month and have all that done
right.
so you can work on your business, right?
Right.
But then you are not really necessarily transparent. But I think you hit on it, is it the transparency thing, is if you're just let your listeners, your followers, the people that are connecting with you online, is that it's really the brand speaking on behalf of the brand.
Correct.
Right? Because that's a challenge we have here at Buckhead Business Radio X. We have a lot of these platforms, and I communicate on a lot of them, but people say, right. well, you know, so I saw your Twitter post on for this show. There was a lot of right. Twitter feeds about it. So is that from you, Rich, or from the studio? And I say it's mainly on behalf of the studio, but, well, why don't you post on your own? And I'm like, it seems kind of like redundant or whatever, you know? It's like, I don't know. There, to me, I got to draw the line somewhere. I think there's huge power in it, and it's amazing, but
I'm actually having that challenge right now.
Yeah.
Personally, to promote my Christmas Whistling album,
yeah.
but I'm using Pecan Productions' Twitter
handle. Yeah.
Handle.
Yeah.
And I think
if you just promote it as that brand, but maybe on occasion where you want to send out a personal observation,
right.
I had a great conversation with Les, and right. then sign off with your name, right?
So I'll tell you yes. And I'll tell you why. People do business with individuals.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't do business with businesses.
Right, right, right.
So you need to make sure that you're adding that individualism into whatever message you're getting. So I agree with those people saying, well, why don't you,
yeah.
you know, because you should. It's not redundant. Because keep in mind, social media also is, I don't know how many people you have following you on Twitter or how many Facebook friends you have or how many LinkedIn friends you have, but it's revolving.
Right.
So if you send out a tweet, maybe some of your friends will see it. But yeah. maybe some of them will have missed it, so you need it. It's continuous. I have one last statement.
Okay,
I have one main statement, not a last statement, but one main statement about what you said.
That comes from your father, the minister, whatever.
Yes, yes, it does.
When you say final, I don't really mean the final statement.
I don't really mean the final statement. But I'll have to tell my dad that one.
Right.
But when she said, you know, all these companies, and I do not begrudge any of these companies that are doing management of social media. I mean, they're making great money. They're filling a niche. But here's what I always ask the business owners. What happens when you no longer can afford that?
Right.
So remember, marketing and those type of social media, and when you stop doing the check, all your social media stops.
And withers.
And here's the thing. It's not like a marketing campaign.
Right.
If your social media withers and dies, you lose any momentum. It's like nothing. You can't just start back up and think that you're going to be where you were when they left off.
Right.
So you've got to be partnered and have both of those.
It definitely is a challenge, but I think the other element to that is that if you you have somebody managing it, and it's real, I don't think there's really a right or wrong. It is on a case by case basis, right, based on the type of establishment. But at some point, I think it would be kind of awkward, especially if you're a solopreneur or a mid management company. I mean, if you're the Home Depots or whatever, right?
Right.
It's a little different, but. At that level, you might be out having a conversation with folks, and Craig, that was, or Bob, or Tom, that was a great, you know, I enjoyed that message, and you're like deer in the headlights because you didn't write it, right? And
right.
That's a little awkward, right?
Right, and I will tell you that Home Depot and those places are not exempt from this. They're actually dealing, we're working with some of those organizations,
yeah, yeah.
and they're dealing with some of the same type of things where they have actually stopped now.
Right.
When a message comes out from the CEO or the president or things of that nature, it's from the president and CEO.
Right, right.
There was I can't remember her name, but there was a major speaker. I don't know if she's a motivational speaker. She's a major speaker, and she was speaking at an event, and she had a whole group of people that were sending out tweets and sending out things. Right. And she, somebody came up to her and asked her about one of the tweets.
Yeah.
And she was clueless.
Yeah.
And it totally, and they actually started a campaign on social media.
Right. Nice.
And really nice. Hurt her credibility and authority.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take long for even those big companies, right. Home Depot. I mean, look at there's several companies lately, United,
right?
Who's you know, people have done social media campaigns and really hurt their business.
Right.
So you've got, even as a large organization, you've got to be aware of the transparency and things of that nature, and don't say it's from someone if it's not.
I think the summary is hands-on.
Hands-on. I mean, Richard Branson is a great example of hands-on.
Yeah, he's amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have him next week. He doesn't know that, but yeah.
Cool.
So Les, it was awesome having you here in the studio. So
great
tell
to be
our,
here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure. So tell our listeners the best way to reach out and get in touch with you. Speaking of social media, what's your go-to, or mention a few or all of your...
Right, I'll mention a few of them. Yeah. So we're on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, my personal Facebook, that's Les Adkins.
Okay.
And then also you can do... at my Silbert Twitter, at the A Pocket, if you want to follow along with our A Pocket.
Sure.
We're doing crowdfunding, things of that nature. And then starting in 2015, you can go look at my website now. It's still under construction. But in the first part of 2015, we'll have a brand new, very cool,
smoking hot
website. And then I want everyone to keep
and
in
what's
mind.
What's that website?
It's orange-sms.com.
Right.
So www.orange-sms.com.
And what's cool there, they can kind of go there, and it'll be on our site as well.
Right.
So we'll put all this content there. But once that's live and up and running, all your social media links will be there.
Exactly. All my social media links will be there and everything. So.
Okay, folks. Well, we're just about out of time. I don't know if there's any other burning questions between our guests here, our thoughts or follow-ups. Anybody have a quote of the day or inspiration? Actually, I mentioned at the top, I was going to ask you guys this. For 2015... tell us, what you want to add or subtract. Not so much a resolution, but yeah. So Franklin, ready, set, go.
I would like to produce another album, another whistling album.
Okay.
Be it a all incumbent of all holiday theme songs, as opposed to just one holiday.
Right, right.
So have one from each holiday or two from each holiday, and a compilation of holiday songs that I'd whistle with the band. But
there's a band with you too.
Yeah, okay. In the studio, it's the ensemble, the music ensemble that we produced the Christmas album with.
You could do like a cover song album, right?
Well, that's
instead
the case.
Of just holidays, whatever. Yeah.
Well, you can
the
also,
best that, of whatever. Yeah.
I mean, you can whistle Squirrel Nut Zippers and Dave Brubeck Take Five.
You could do something on social media like a contest to to and a crowdfunding to pay for the album. I'm just spitballing here. But the part of the play is for them to submit their favorite, top 12 songs for the cover songs for the album.
That's not a bad
idea. Most requested,
idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Request songs to whistle. And if yours gets whistled, you get a certain something or other.
A T-shirt or whistle. You get a kid's whistle or...
There you
advice,
go.
Yeah. For those that can't whistle, yeah.
Or actually, Franklin will call and he'll put his whistle on your voicemail.
There you go. Now we're talking. Wow. So that's what you want to add. Anything you want to subtract?
Well, not really. I want to add. Well, I want to say that I have whistled for some famous folks.
Really?
You mentioned what I do in the pastime. I'm also an actor, and I'm on. So some television shows in the background.
Okay.
It's featured Doctor on the recent Red Band Society with Octavia Spencer.
Nice.
Cool. That was really cool on the Fox show. And so I've whistled. I was also Will Ferrell stand-in on Anchorman
really?
2.
Really? Wow.
So, a lot of folks received.
You got to open with that next time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of folks received little baggies of fresh shelled pecans from my friend's farm, along with a copy of my Christmas whistling album, and also met Jim Carrey on the set, and then I came across him again, and I gave him a copy, and he goes, well, let me hear a little.
Oh, yeah.
And
wow.
So I whistled for him, and then I whistled for Sanjay Gupta.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, wait a second, come here. And he walked me right over, and he goes, this guy's the president of Coca-Cola. Whistle for him. And so I whistled, I'd like to teach the world to
sing. Oh, yeah, nice.
Cool.
And perfect harmony. And so I also play the jaw harp, which is part of my routine.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, the jaw harp. First time on Business Radio X.
Cool.
I topped that list, yeah.
So 2015, our next, the Big Cox Comedy Show is January 24th.
Okay.
And for the first four people to send me an email, frank@pecanproductions.com, productions with an S, .com, will receive two free tickets to the show on January 24th at 9 o'clock. They're normally $12 each.
And, sweet.
So, Frank at pecanproductions.com.
And where's the venue?
The venue is Jerry Farber's Side Door in Buckhead at the Landmark Diner on Roswell Road in between Blackland and Habersham and Piedmont.
Oh, that's awesome. Ooh. So tell the email address for the contestants.
I'm sorry?
Tell the email again for the contestants.
That's Frank at pecanproductions.com. That's P-E-C-A-N, like the pie.
And that's for the first four.
The first four, bring it.
All
let's
right.
go. It's going to be a
nice.
Wonderful time.
That'll be awesome. And leave your pecans at the door, right? Yeah. Do you ever get any people tossing pecans at you?
No.
Or roasted, for holidays, roasted sugar coated, or what's those baked pecans?
You can bake them, you roast them.
Anything you
dash
want.
Dash a little cinnamon on them.
You can whistle them.
Some butter on them.
Nice. Okay, so Les, we just got a minute or so left here. So tell us, what do you want to add or subtract for 2015?
So for 2015, we've got a lot of projects, but okay. I want people to remember the hashtag Orange Social.
Okay.
We're going to actually kind of hopefully coin a term and doing things the Orange Social way. So a lot of things that you and I talked about on how to do it right, how to get social media right.
Right.
And then I'm just subtracting all negative stuff.
Okay.
So the stuff that actually causes me not to move forward in my life or move forward in my business or move forward with my network, anything that causes me to not add value, I'm going to get rid of in 2015.
Well, I'm going to start watching more TV and pick up smoking. I've always wanted to smoke. I've never started smoking.
Awesome. Start with cigars.
Right, exactly. That's
the perfect. Start with cigars.
I just had an aha moment. I don't know if you connected the dots or whatever, but what a great hashtag. Think about this, right? For your business, Orange You Social.
Orange You Social?
Yeah, Orange You Social?
Oh, yeah. Orange You Social.
Orange You Social?
Orange You Social.
Yeah, Orange You Not. I don't know. You either orange or you orange not.
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Sometimes
but hopefully everyone.
I'm on fire.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe you can do a comedy routine with Frank.
No, but remember, I gave up whistling for 2015.
Man, come on along. We'll bring you on stage now.
This has been way too much fun for business radio. Yeah. All right, we're going to have to do this again. And thanks for being here, y'all. And remember, do the right thing, 2015, and good things will come to you. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for having us.